In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to consider today the readings for the 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time, which occurs on June 16th. And regarding the theme of these readings is obviously pardon and forgiveness. And it takes its, as always, you know, it takes its theme from the gospel. The gospel is about the sinful woman up in the Pharisee's home. We call it Magdala, and she's Mary Magdalene. But there are so many instances of forgiveness in the scriptures. This was one of the most beautiful and dramatic, and that's the one the church was before us, starting with another enormous forgiveness, namely the forgiveness of David after he had Uriah murdered. And so we start with that one. Now, you know the story. It's very interesting with how the text describes it too. David stays home, and the army under Joab goes out to surround and try to occupy the city, another city. So David is up on his roof one day, and you know, like one of the most penetrating sort of analyses of this is by the Jewish literary critic. Beautiful thing. What's this king doing sitting home? This is the spring, the time of the year when kings march out to battle. But David, you see, Yisham. But David sat at home, or left, abided at home, you know, but the word chosen has all the overtones. If he sat there, why isn't he out with his troops? He's getting old. Nevertheless, they're out there risking their life. Shouldn't he be leading them? And as you know, he saw this woman taking a bath over on her own rooftop, and he lustered after her, found out who it was, and then the wife of Uriah, who was a Hittite, he wasn't even a Hebrew, had him called back, tried to get him drunk so he'd go home and have relations with his wife, and then if she turns out, as she does, because he already knows this, she's pregnant, it'll be Uriah's child, you see. Now, whether Uriah suspects anything, or he's really that good-hearted and naive, is difficult to know. There is this analysis, it's by Steinmuller. I'll give you the name later. It's a book, literary analysis of Old Testament paragraphs, passages. Very good. Anyway, he doesn't go home. He stays. I'm a soldier. I should be with soldiers. I shouldn't be. We're on campaign. I shouldn't be home with my wife, receiving consolation from her that none of my other men have. He's a very upright man. Or does he suspect something? The narrator never tells us. So then, holds him back, has another supper, gets him roaring drunk, and says, now go home with your wife or something. Well, he doesn't. Again, he stays with the troops in the barracks. But then David said, well, what I'll do is I'll write a note to Joab saying, in the battle, just put Uriah in a spot that's very dangerous, and then pull back. In other words, get him killed. And so Joab does that. and the irony in this story. I'm trying to, before we get into this text, I'm just trying to create for you this environment, you see. In this first notion, which is the one we're going to have in the first reading anyway. He gets him drunk, he stays home. So he writes a note to Joab saying, get the troops, be true to them, then fall back so that he's killed. Joab, a hard-hearted man anyway, professional soldier, yeah, sure, if that's what the king wants, we'll do it. So not only Uriah, but many men are killed in this. And then Nathan confronts David. He tells him a little parable about a rich man who had flocks and flocks of sheep and a poor man who had only one little lamb. And the rich man had a guest come, so he takes the poor man's lamb to give to him when he's got hundreds of his own. And David, hears about all this because, Nathan is telling him. And he said, that man should die. He is terrible. And that's where, as the Lord lives, that man who has done this merits death. He shall restore the ewe lamb fourfold. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. That man is you. And then thus says the Lord, I anointed you, you see? And that's when our text begins that we have for the first reading. There are so many other places where forgiveness is mentioned. The woman at Magdala, and that's another example in our reading. Today, these readings are meant to encourage us to go to the Father, to go to Jesus, ask for forgiveness. We will get it. That's why the Lord gave us a sacrament, which is precisely to perform a divine function and forgive sins. And we'll see that when we come into the reading. But you see, the notion is only God can really forgive sin. We have then all these beautiful psalms that talk about forgiveness. One of the most beautiful is Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and do not forget all his blessing. And then the text goes on to say, he forgives all your sins. He lifts off your guilt. And I'm trying to read it for you. It's such a beautiful insight into God that the Lord knows we have sinned, of course, and he forgives us so that we could have a relationship of love with him. This translation goes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being, bless his holy name. Barechi nafshi et Adonai, bless the Lord, my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion. He fills your lifetime with good. Your youth is renewed like the eagle, son. That's what God does for you, soul, person, Francis. So, the first word of the text is, you see, Baraki, forgive. I'm sorry. Bless the Lord. And so, that's the meaning of this notion of forgiveness. It's pardon. The word in Hebrew, sliach, means to release. Today, in modern Hebrew, slicha means forgive me, excuse me. That kind of, you step on somebody's foot in the movie theater as you're trying to, slicha, sorry, And it's the same word, to release, and to release from debt, as we're going to see, because the word, particularly in the New Testament, the Aramaic word underlying it, is the word hov, which means debt. The Bible looks on it as though our sin puts us in debt to God, and we can't pay that debt. This is why so many of our Lord's parables, remember the one when the fellow owes the national debt and his master forgives it all, and he turns around and starts beating up a guy who owes him a couple thousand dollars. Then the master hears about that, calls him back and says, "You terrible person, I forgave you the national debt, and you won't forgive this guy a couple thousand dollars. Take him, throw him into jail, and he won't get out until he pays the whole thing." Well, he's never going to pay that. Debtor's prison is a place where you go. It's not comfortable. No prisons were in those days. And it's up to the family to get the money, pay the debt so he can get out. Well, who's going to pay the national debt? And so there are these themes. And the notion, as I've already said, has to do with being in debt to God. That's why we translate it, "Forgive us our," I don't know how we translate it now anymore, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," was the old translated. Because people are in debt to us. They've offended us. And though they're in debt to us, write off the debt. Just good business. You write off the $20 he owes you, and the Lord writes off the $10,000 you owe him. And so that's the notion behind this pardon and forgiveness as the Bible looks at it. That's what's happening now. As we begin after the break here, for the on the first reading, you see this notion. Now Psalm 51, which is the last thing we'll have time to look at, Haneni Elohim kechasdecha. Haneni comes from the word chen, which we've talked about. Be gracious to me, open-hearted, you know, according to your chesed. You see, in your chesed, you know, you've heard that word enough now. It means this enthusiastic, you know, fulfilling of the covenant. So God, you see, is fulfilling the covenant. And that's the, I'm going to see if I can just find it quickly for you and read some of it. Haneni Elohim kechasdecha. Well, never mind. I can't get it right away. According to your chesed, you see, just be gracious to me. When we see, look at the psalm, which is in the liturgy, we're going to see another dimension of this whole thing about forgiveness and about sin and so forth. What happened, just as I'm running out of time, that I finally find my place. You see this psalm, Baraki nafshi et Adonai v'kol karavai et shem kodesho. Baraki Adonai again, and then don't forget all his benefits, all his mercy. Never forget his mercy. Where would we be if he hadn't shown us mercy? Right, has some ideas about the world in the Bible of sin and forgiveness.